Hello, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Women's Eye Radio Show. I'm your host, Catherine Anaya. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am so excited about the guests that we have on the program. They are two incredible self-made women. In fact, one of them has written a book on that very topic. She is Nelly Galan, and her new book is Self-Made, Becoming Empowered, Self-Reliant, and Rich in Every Way. Nelly is self-made. She arrived in the U.S. from Cuba when she was a young child and worked her way up from her first job as an unpaid intern to the first Latina president of a U.S. TV network. And that's only a small part of her amazing journey. Nelly's story is one you do not want to miss. And joining me later is motivational speaker and team builder Kristen Arnold, another self-made entrepreneur. She's a certified speaking professional, an award-winning author, and also one of the first female graduates of the United States Coast Guard Academy. Later in the show, she'll join me to talk about how to build strong, successful teams and much more. But first, I do want to welcome Nelly Galan, who joins me from the phone from Los Angeles. She is a woman's empowerment advocate, an Emmy award-winning TV producer, and the founder of the Adelante movement, whose goal is to unite and empower Latinas. Her new book is an inspiring one. It's called Self-Made. Her message is her mission, and it's a movement. Hello, Nelly.
Hello there. So thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us from Los Angeles. As I mentioned to you briefly, and I want to mention to our viewers, or our listeners, I should say, I'm not on TV today. I heard you speak at the Hispanic Women's Conference luncheon here in Phoenix, and you are so dynamic. As you said, you really do talk with passion about what you're speaking about and empowering women to do.
I do. I think it's because, you know, one of the things I say in the book is that if becoming self-made, if it was a race, the starting point is to realize that there is no Prince Charming in life. And I mean that not just in terms of a mate, but in terms of thinking that your corporation that you work for is going to save you, or the government's going to save you, or the president of the United States is going to save you. The truth of the matter is that when you finally realize that you're all you've got and that you have everything it takes to be self-sufficient and to create happiness in your life and well-being and financial well-being, that's the starting point. And I'm very passionate about that. I think that is the part of my life that I really did well.
Well, you did it well. And your book is devoted to teaching other women how to become entrepreneurs such as yourself. It's called Self-Made, Becoming Empowered, Self-Reliant, and Rich in Every Way, as I mentioned. It's about becoming successful on your own terms. Before we get into what exactly that means, if you would, please share with our listeners your story from immigrant to millionaire and becoming a self-made mogul. What was the turning point for you?
Well, I think, first of all, it is important to say that I am an immigrant. I came to this country when I was 5 years old from Cuba. My parents had lost everything from a communist regime. And when you come here as an immigrant, you're in it together as a team and your family. And so we all knew that our parents had sacrificed very much to bring us here. And as a family, you know, my brother and I really worked to help my parents. And so when, you know, I think the turning point in my life is I was in the seventh grade and my parents had sent me to all-girl Catholic school, and I overheard they were having a hard time financially. And I had a neighbor who was selling Avon, and I started selling Avon in my school to pay for my tuition. And, you know, I think that's the beginning. It's like you realize, you know, my parents really went through a hard time. I think sometimes in America we forget that bad things could happen, that things like what happened to us in 2008, where there's a bad economy, could happen. Worse things could happen. And I think when you think from the time you're very young that you realize you can do it, that we are in the greatest country in the world with incredible opportunities for all women specifically, I think you know it changes your whole life. You know, from there, I moved on. I got into television at a very young age. I was a TV station manager. I started out in a little rinky-dinky station, and I worked my way up to being the president of a network. And from there, I started my own production company. I like to say I'm the Latina Tyler Perry because I've produced about 700 shows in English and Spanish. And some of you may have heard of some of my shows that crossed over and became very big, like The Swan. And in 2008, I was actually the first Latina to ever appear on Celebrity Apprentice with Donald Trump. So I built, a business. First, I worked my way up and worked in corporate America. I tell women, you don't leave your job. You start thinking of a business as a side hustle first. I always wanted to have my own business, and I finally did.
Well, and you did that at 25 years old, but you didn't find that financial success that you talk about right away, and you imagined that you would, right?
No, when I started my first business, for 4 years, I did not make a penny, and everyone was, I was freaking out, and my parents were freaking out. My parents were like, por favor, go find their husband, you're going to lose your look. And I was, I was dogged because I had worked for very successful men. And they had said to me, when I was your age, I started a business and it took me 10 years before I made any money. And then I made it rich. And I thought, well, I'm only on year four. but all the pressure in my life from my family and my friends was to give up. Everyone would tell me it's not going to work out. So that's the other thing. When you try big things in life, kind of the universe conspires to tell you how stupid you are and that you shouldn't do it. But I think that's fear in other people. And I hung in there and I hung in there. And then the fourth year, I started making money. And after that, I made a lot of money. And, I think that's why I feel uniquely qualified to talk about this with women, because I've been through every stage of entrepreneurship, including later when you have a business and it does well and then it goes to bad economies and, all the ups and downs. But I can tell you that, I say in the book, I think the new ticking clock for women is to become self-made, because in our lifetime, we will be laid off. Our companies will be disrupted and you'll be fired. So to cultivate a side hustle, to cultivate something where you start something on the side, or you invest in a franchise, or you invest in a business, or you invest in your kids starting a business. You cannot have an entire family that's W-2'd. Somebody in a family has to have an entrepreneurial life. That is the maximum of a successful family. That's how you do it.
Let me ask you a question. You talk a lot about being self-made. Your book is about being self-made. What does it mean to be self-made?
I think self-made is it's a double entendre. In one way, I like the word self-made because it means you're DIYing yourself. I think to be a successful human being, we have to constantly be introspective and be saying, how can I be better? What is the highest and best use of myself, of my skills, of my gifts in this life? And then the other meaning for it for me is someone who really understands that they have to be fully independent financially. That ultimately, that's what we're going for. Maybe you're not doing that right this minute, but how do we achieve total financial independence as women? And I think it's a combination of those two things that help you achieve it.
You spent almost 4 years on the road talking and training women, which led to this book. Was there a common theme that you found when you were talking to women all over the country?
Well, number one, I think when I was going around the country, the reason I went around the country is because after 2008, there was this revolution that began with women whose husbands and fathers and family members were being laid off. And a lot of women rose up in entrepreneurship, particularly multicultural women. And so there was a new interest in entrepreneurship because the shared economy, when we think of, driving an Uber or a Lyft or selling clothes from your closet on eBay, sort of changed the game for people. It was kind of like you didn't have to announce that you were starting a business. You could still go to work every day and on the side, take advantage of Airbnb, of eBay, of Lyft to make money on the side. And I think unbeknownst to all of us, a revolution was going on. So what I found is these women that were like ready to go, saying, I've always dreamed of starting something, of doing something, and they were doing it.
Why do you think some women get empowered by failure and others don't?
Well, I think it would be unfair to say that, all of us are always afraid. I say in the book that I had to turn fear and failure into my best friends. Failure and fear are human, normal traits. We're afraid and we're afraid to fail and we get down. But I think we have to cultivate this idea that fear and failure have to be your guiding light instead of your enemy. Because fear is normal, but it's not a real thing. It's just a feeling. It's not concrete. It's not a chair. It's not true. And failure is what happens on the road to success. So if you reframe it in your mind, like we forget also that our brains are like a computer. If you tell it something, you believe it. But you can change the way your brain thinks by telling it that something that's negative is positive. And I believe fear and failure are my best friends. When fear shows up, I just go to myself, what is it trying to show me? Where do I need to work harder? Because it's not true. It's not real.
So
when I fail, I mourn the failure, but I just get back on the horse and keep doing it. Because around the corner from my greatest failures have been my greatest successes, period.
So when you talk about women becoming self-made, does that first step, do you think, start within yourself? Or is it something, is it an action?
Well, it's everything in life is a thought and then an action, because without action, there's nothing at all, right?
Uh-huh.
So I think the first step is that you might be frustrated in your job. You must be thinking, I'm really talented and I really could do great things, but I have no idea where to begin. And when you have that thought, that's the starting point. And so that means you're hungering for something greater. And what you're going to do is not overdo it. You know, like if I tell you, I'm going to lose weight. This is my New Year's resolution. I'm going to go to the gym 5 days a week and I'm going to go on a diet. And then I do nothing because I've overwhelmed myself trying to do too much at once. The starting point of becoming self-made is A, do not leave your job. You are going to carve out 1 hour a week on Sundays. You're going to start by taking something out of your closet that you no longer wear. You're going to take a photograph of it and you're going to post it on eBay or Amazon. That's it. If you don't know how to do that, go ask one of your kids to do it for you. It takes about 5 minutes. You're then going to go back to work for the week. And on Saturday, your item will be sold and you'll go, wow, I just made $75 on that. Wow. And I hope that one action inspires you to maybe sell 2 items. You know, selling on eBay and Amazon is like going to business school,
mm-hmm.
because you have to learn how to market your product and write up a little write-up. And if you don't know how to do it, you'll see how other people do it. And you're learning. You're going to learn how to take a photograph. And the first time you do it, you're going to go, wow, that doesn't look lit well. The other things that are selling look lit better. You're going to learn how to charge for things. You're going to look at what other people that are selling similar items. And you're going to go, wow, that person's selling that for $2 less. Maybe this is $2.50 less. You're going to learn how to price things. So you don't have to go crazy. Like, I think the beauty of life, like I tell everyone, I'm a turtle. I'm slow as molasses. I don't do anything fast. If you look at my resume, it looks like I've accomplished a lot of things, but I haven't done it overnight. You don't have to be the first one to win the race. You just have to cross the finish line.
Important
words. And so 1 hour a week.
Yep.
Start.
I am talking to the fabulous Nelly Galan, who is the author of a new book called Self-Made, Becoming Empowered, Self-Reliant, and Rich in Every Way. You have some really important advice in your book that fall under some very clever headings that I'd like to go through, if you don't mind. The first one is, don't buy shoes, buy buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
So I think that's both a metaphor and a real story. It's, in my life, a real story. I have made X amount of money in television, right? In my business. But what happened is that when I started making money in television, and believe me, this was one of my older men mentors that told me to do this, instead of living grandiose, instead of buying a more expensive car, instead of even buying myself a house first, I invested all the money I was making in buying buildings, commercial buildings for my business. And over a 20-year period, my buildings have made me 10 times the money that my TV life made me. And that's why I say, you know, if you have a big idea for your life, like, you know, for me, I wanted to, you know, be able to retire at an early age. I'm probably never going to retire, but I wanted to know that I could. And so my goal was to retire at 65. Well, I was able to retire at 45. And that's
Imagine.
Because all the buildings I bought are now rented, and I collect all this rent, and it's passive income. So the truth is that if we think that the money we make as salaried people or even in our businesses are going to take us all the way to the end of our lives, we don't realize that we have to sacrifice a little further. And when we make money, we have to invest money, whether it's in real estate, whether it's in stocks, some people like that better, whether it's in buying a franchise, whether it's investing in someone else's business. We have to invest in something that makes money while we sleep.
And that brings
you're not the one doing the work.
Well, that brings me to another clever heading, and that is the hidden money. Explain that one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think one of the things that I've discovered as an entrepreneur and also going on the road is, you know, women say, but how do I get my business funded? And what do I do? And there is so much hidden money in America for women, for Asian women, Latina women, African-American women, women that are disabled, veterans, you name it, there's money for us. And that money is in the federal government, at the Small Business Administration, at the Department of Commerce. There are loans. If I had known when I was young that I could buy buildings for my business with an unbelievable loan instead of going directly to a commercial loan, I would have bought more buildings. If I had known that corporations in America, Fortune 500, have incredible contracts for entrepreneurs to do printing, videos, I mean, anything that you can imagine, decorating their offices, all those things are outsourced to entrepreneurial companies, and we don't apply for those contracts. But nonprofits in America have contests every year where you get grants to start your business that you don't have to pay back. So there is much money out there for us. I detail it in the book, and I even detail it further in my website, becomingselfmade.com. So I felt the need to really put that out there, because what is the point of living in the greatest country in America, in the world, where there's all this money for us, all these programs for us, and we don't even apply for it?
Well, you talk about a lot of this, and you feature a lot of women who are making use of some of your tips and your tools on your website and with your webinars. You know, with the women that you've come across and you've been able to talk to, who have followed you, who have been inspired by you, what has been the biggest takeaways for you in terms of what these women have been able to do in just the short amount of time that they've been touched by you?
Well, I love the success stories. I mean, I feel like when you take a risk, when you dip your toe in the water, when you just take a small action, the repercussions of that action in your life and in your family's life are immense. Because sometimes all it takes is to, you know, put the toe in the water, and then you realize, oh my God, this is so easy. Why didn't I do this before? And it really affects the rest of your life. I mean, I will tell you that to me, besides the women, which to me are the source of my inspiration, my own son has been so moved by my movement with myself, my desire to change my own life, that, you know, he's 16 years old, he started a YouTube channel teaching kids how to dance. And he's got 5 million views, and he's getting advertising on it. And, you know, he and his best friend started this thing, and they're going to end up paying for their own colleges. So to me, it's not just the women. It's the women that then affect their families and change the course of the destiny of their families that inspire me.
You
Through
are.
Their example.
You are an inspiring speaker, and I do want to ask you, because you do talk to women about the importance of diversity in the country's economy. You know, what is the turnout to the Women's March that took place in January across the globe? What do you think that says about where we are today as women?
Well, I think it took this very polarized election for women to realize, because I don't think we have all been united, that we're all we've got. And that if we don't stand together for our families and for ourselves, No one, it's what I say in the book. There is no Prince Charming. We've got to cut the fantasy. We are all we've got, and all we've got is each other. And so if we don't understand that, I hope that this election finally made us all realize that we have made so many strides, and that all the women that have come before us have sacrificed so much for us to have rights we take for granted, and that we can't stop. We have to continue to fight for those rights on behalf of ourselves and our family.
What's next for Nelly Galan? I mean, what would you like to accomplish this year that you haven't already done?
I mean, look, I am continuing on this path. I don't think that this has been the most incredible year for me, because I did publish this book in Spanish and English, I might say, because it's very important for me to reach my own community. But I still have a lot of work to do, as you saw from that Women's March. I've been to 100 cities in America. I have to go to more cities in America and reach more women. And, you know, probably I think this year I will try to create some kind of a television show around this, because I think that's obviously my skill set. And I think I need more women to hear the message that this is our moment, and this is our moment to become self-made.
I want to go back to diversity for just a moment, because you mm-hmm. also founded a nonprofit. It's called the Adelante Movement, which means move it forward in Spanish. Mm-hmm. It's about training and empowering Latinas to become entrepreneurs. What kinds of women reach out and join the movement? What kinds of women are you seeing?
Well, I think that in my own community, what happened is that a number of years ago in 2012, I realized that so many Latinas were interested in entrepreneurship out of necessity. And I realized that I was uniquely qualified to teach them and train them. And what I realized that there was a lot going on in our own community, you know, where women were going away to college and had to tell their parents they were leaving home, which, you know, in our community, that's like not so cool.
Right.
And really kind of getting beyond this idea that we didn't want to surpass our fathers or our husbands, because out of necessity, we were becoming the heads of household. I mean, right now, 40% of Latinas are the breadwinners in their families. So it was interesting, because a lot of the Latinas brought to the event their African-American girlfriends, their Asian girlfriends, their Indian girlfriends, their Middle Eastern girlfriends. And I realized that there was this cultural filter that was all about sort of a patriarchal society that all these women were breaking out of. And that's what I really needed to talk about. It wasn't just about entrepreneurship. It's how do we leave these cultural mores without leaving our culture? How do we continue to grow and yet still be authentic to the culture and the religion we come from?
It's tough. Are there ever times or ever days when, you know, you, the epitome of self-confidence, ever feel like you're not as confident as you'd like to think you are, or that you want to be? I mean, do you ever have those days where you question yourself?
I mean, listen, I think whether you're very confident or not confident, the world constantly tells you you're not enough. You're not young enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not skinny enough. You're not smart enough. You don't know enough about the internet. You're not an engineer. You don't know social media. There's always a reason to feel not confident. I think that when you make growing every day by any means necessary your number one value, then it doesn't matter, because you're always growing. You know, if that's your mantra, if that's what you live for, then yeah, so you're not an expert at everything. You're learning. You're a perennial student. And then you feel really good about yourself. And that's why I think learning and growing and putting yourself in a situation where you admit you don't know anything is great.
Hmm. Isn't that the truth? You provide some amazing resources on your website. As I mentioned before, you have these webinars where you teach women really important tools. And these are places where people can go, in addition to your book, to really learn a lot about some of what you've talked about on the show today. And I certainly encourage people to do that. How often do you do those webinars?
Oh, I do them a lot. In fact, there's going to be this year, We are doing a recap of all the webinars we've done, and we're doing about 8 new ones. And but I love doing webinars because I feel like I love to be inspired, and I love inspiration. And I, as you know, because you've heard me speak, I love to inspire and be inspired. But I also think you then have to get to the meat and potatoes and do the work. And I think webinars is the place where blow by blow, step by step, turtle by turtle, I show you how to do it.
The website is becomingselfmade.com or theadelantemovement.com. And you are on Twitter at Nelly_Galan. Nelly, thank you. Thank you so much. Keep up the amazing and inspiring and empowering work that you do. I certainly appreciate you joining me here on The Women's Eye.
Thank you so very much. And thank you to all the women listening. And I hope that we're motivating you to take a step in the right direction for yourself.
Absolutely. And we will continue to follow you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate it.
When we come back, you'll meet Kristen Arnold. She blogs at The Extraordinary Team, and she'll talk about how you too can be extraordinary right after this.